Okay, so hello everyone. I want to thank you for coming to this session today. My name is Leslie Carnahan, and I'm from the Center for Research on Women and Gender at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And today I'm going to be talking about the feasibility and acceptability of a community-led health promotion program to reduce cardiovascular disease risk in rural Illinois. And I have no disclosures. So why should we consider community-led health promotion programs in rural settings? Traditionally, rural settings have less access to health promotion resources, particularly related to physical activity and dietary habits, as compared to their urban counterparts. And while there have been a number of great interventions to target modifiable behaviors, many of these interventions, their effects wear over time. And so in the long run, you don't see successful behavior change. And there's a body of research that shows rural community-based programs encourage and enhance health. They often alter local health behavior norms. And community-based programs have the ability to respond to local needs and resources. And the last point about community-led health promotion programs, we often see in rural settings churches are used as proxy community centers, and this is relevant to our research, which took place in community churches. So I just want to give a little background about the study setting. So you guys are right there with that yellow star in Chicago. And our research took place in the southern seven counties of Illinois. This is it's a region of about 2,000 square miles, and there's a little less than 70,000 residents. The population is largely non-Hispanic white, and there's a little less than 11% African American residents. So it's pretty clear that adults in the rural southern seven region have an elevated cardiovascular disease risk as compared to Illinois residents overall. There's higher rates of smoking, overweight and obesity, diabetes, and other things. So thinking about the rural context and the disease risk factors that are present in the southern seven region, the HeartSmart model was born. The goal of the HeartSmart program is to improve the health of women in their communities by empowering them to promote and engage in healthy behaviors. The HeartSmart model has two strategies to address cardiovascular disease risk in the region. So the first is the HeartSmart for Women program, and this is one of those shorter-term interventions. It's an evidence-based lifestyle program. It's implemented on a weekly basis for 12 weeks in group settings. Following the end of the HeartSmart for Women program, in the churches, they start up the HeartSmart maintenance program. And this builds on what was learned in HSFW to increase community capacity to support long-term behavior change. And the HeartSmart maintenance program is implemented monthly for 2 years in partner churches. And I just want to point out that this HeartSmart program is just one part of a larger component of a larger coalition initiative to improve cardiovascular disease risk in the region. So for the remainder of the presentation, I'm going to spend talking about the HeartSmart maintenance program, since this was our community-led and driven section of the model. So as I mentioned, it takes place in churches, and we partnered with 12 churches in the program for a total of 5 years. The content that's delivered in the HeartSmart maintenance program is church-specific, community and culturally appropriate, and it's content that is promotes, supports, and reinforces health behaviors. And one large part of the HeartSmart maintenance program is that it offers a component of social support for participants. And the HeartSmart maintenance program is opened up to those people that participated in that 12-week lifestyle intervention program. And then it's also open to church and community members, both men and women. So we think what is really unique about our HeartSmart maintenance program is the coordinator, and this is the person that implements the monthly sessions. The coordinator is recruited from the partner church, and while we did have some people that with clinical backgrounds, this was not a requirement by any means to coordinate the HeartSmart maintenance program. We even had, from one church, one of the pastors decided to be the coordinator for their church. The coordinator, they get this manual, which kind of helps lead them and provide some suggestions and resources to get started with their program. But then the coordinator really is able to tailor the sessions based on their local needs and resources that they have. In general, most activities are implemented within the church setting. However, some groups did take field trips to go to parks and other things like that. The coordinators really try to tailor the content to participant input and feedback. We ask that the coordinators participate in a monthly conference call, and during this conference call, they share their stories and successes and challenges with other coordinators. And each coordinator receives a budget of $9,000 that they spend over the course of 3 years. So thinking about the Heart Smart model, we wanted to know, is this a feasible and acceptable health promotion model for coordinators and participants? We think it's important because we're asking the coordinators to do all this work, and then we also want this to be something that's receptive for those that are participating in the program. So to answer this question, we looked at a variety of data sources. The coordinators, after the end of every monthly session, they send to us a report that gives us information about who attended, what the sessions were about, and then we also, like I said, we have those monthly conference calls where the coordinators share their stories, successes and challenges. Participants that engage in the Heart Smart Maintenance Program, they also complete a satisfaction survey that we collect as a part of a larger program evaluation. And these are collected at 1 and 2 years from baseline. To analyze our information, we conducted content analysis as well as descriptive statistics. And we analyzed sessions starting when the program started in June 2012 through August 2015. However, I just want to note that data collection is ongoing and will stop in July 2016. So in the time period that we analyzed our data, there has been a total of 188 Heart Smart Maintenance sessions that have been implemented in the Southern Seven region. This has equated to 1,600 participant contact points with 151 unique participants. The mean attendance has been just a little less than 9 participants per session. And among the first 6 churches that have been implementing the program, the expected session implementation has ranged from 96% to 54%. So this means that we ask the coordinators to implement a session every month, but we understand things come up and that doesn't always happen. 6 churches are still currently implementing sessions, and then the other 6 churches have completed their formal 2-year partnership. However, we're still collecting data because many churches have continued their programs. So overall, participant feedback has been quite positive about the program. They have stated that the session content and implementation help them learn new information, and they've been able to really apply this information to their everyday life. They also noted that this program gave them a social support to engage in healthy behaviors. And because this program is specifically made to address cardiovascular disease risk, we really weren't surprised at all about all of the heart health content that came out of each session. But one thing that really did surprise us was that session implementation equated to many general wellness topics, such as safe drug disposal, fall and slip prevention, even first aid and CPR trainings being offered in some of the churches. So I just wanted to give a little snapshot of the people that were participating, and I just want to note this includes both the Heart Smart for Women evaluation participants as well as the Heart Smart Maintenance participants. Overwhelmingly, it's been mostly women because I think the first part of the program is geared specifically towards women. However, there has been about 20% participation of African-American women and men in the program. The mean age is a little less than 60 years. So of the women that participated in that first 12-week intervention program, Heart Smart for Women, a little less than 60% of these women continued on to engage in the Heart Smart Maintenance Program. And there has been 60 new participants that also joined that had no affiliation with the Heart Smart for Women program. Of those first 6 churches that have ended their formal 2-year partnerships, a little more than 60% of participants attended at least half of those sessions offered on a monthly basis for 2 years, and participant attendance ranged from 100% to a little less than 4%. From the participant perspective, participants in their satisfaction and feedback surveys to us at the 1 and 2 year marks, they really indicated that the Heart Smart Maintenance Program has offered them some leadership opportunities. Many churches have started to have participant-led sessions, so the participant will actually go and research what they want to know about and share it with their group. They've also said that it's offered them social support and an area for fellowship related to healthy living and health behaviors. There's been a lot of informational support. And one thing the participants have noted is that they want this to be a venue where they can both engage in physical activity and more of the classroom style learning. However, the hour time frame that the maintenance sessions are offered in don't always allow enough time to do both. And of course, there's participation barriers. Many women noted, and men too, that they had competing schedules and priorities, and so they weren't always able to commit to the monthly maintenance session. And then some of the participants that engaged in the Heart Smart for Women program stated that sometimes the information that they learned in Heart Smart maintenance was repetitive and that they already knew that. From the coordinator perspective, we really wanted to know more about their implementation successes and challenges, because again, these are largely lay volunteers with that are doing this mostly on volunteer time. So from the success angle, many of the coordinators stated that this gave them a chance to collaborate with other churches in their communities. And in the rural regions, the churches are very strong, and it just gave them a platform to really network with others. It also gave them a platform to utilize existing resources in their communities. And this also kind of spurred the creation of health-related church policies. And again, there's always some challenges to implementing these programs in community settings. One of the challenges that has come up over and over is that tailoring the activities to different age groups and abilities, particularly related to physical activity, has been hard. And also the coordinators have to spend a lot of time trying to maintain attendance with their groups. And we've also had some churches experience leadership changes, and maybe the original pastor that we spoke with was super supportive of the program, but the new pastor that came in was not. And many coordinators have really expressed that they didn't realize so much that they needed to have this plan B because their guest speaker fell through or something unexpected came up. And like I said, there's been a lot of local church-related policies that have arisen as a part of participating in this program. However, there has been some larger initiatives. One church became a Get Covered Illinois Marketplace site. That's our ACA partner to get people enrolled. And then there's also been some partnerships with schools. So overall, we think that the Heart Smart model offers a model that has a lot of strength, especially in rural resource-poor settings. Overwhelmingly, it seems like this has increased access to health information and resources. It's really been a place to facilitate social support, which I'm sure we all know is really necessary to change and maintain behavior, health behavior. We think it's also shown to be a very strong program because many of the churches have decided to continue with their Heart Smart Maintenance program even at the end of the formal 2 year partnership and the end of funding agreements. This has again provided a platform to really leverage resources and relationships within the community. And as you just saw, there's been quite a few local health-related policies, which we think is really important because those are kind of the things that will change health norms in communities. Some challenges have been, for some churches, transitioning to a sustainable program at the end of the formal partnership has been hard, and a lot of this perhaps is related to this concept and idea of volunteer fatigue. I'm sure many of you know these people that volunteer to run these programs are also doing like 20 million other things, and so that's just something to be considerate of. And one thing we thought was really surprising is that some coordinators had trouble spending their $9,000 budget. We're not sure if that's a function of it being too much funding going towards the program, or if it's just kind of the rural nature to be frugal with funds, especially in church settings. So we wanted to share some recommendations for community-led sustainable health promotion programs. We think it's very important to engage support systems. If you're working with churches, many communities and areas have parish nurse networks, and these networks can help you with informational support. It's of course very important to engage your community stakeholders and to get buy-in for the program. And of course you always want to get as many family and community members involved as possible. We've been very fortunate that our program has been in very close collaboration with the local health department, and the health department has been great in offering a lot of informational support to the coordinators. If the coordinator says, okay, people want to know about osteoporosis but I have no idea, they can contact their local health department and they will send either a speaker or resources or guide them in the right direction. We also suggest pairing these programs with public health messaging campaigns, because we know that these singular interventions are not necessarily sufficient to change health behaviors, and that you really need to look at the bigger picture and changing the overall local health norms. And then of course it's just really important to make sure if you're partnering with communities to provide them with adequate resources so that they have an opportunity to be successful. And so in conclusion, we think that the HeartSmart model is feasible and acceptable as a community-led health promotion program, and the integration of community-based coordinators is appropriate to disseminate health programs in rural communities. And while it's great if you can have a nurse or a doctor do that, that's not necessary. And we think this is a great model for a long-term booster health promotion program that can build on maybe some of these shorter interventions that are really information-heavy. It has the potential to facilitate long-term health programs in rural settings. These programs can be easily tailored to fit community needs and resources, and it helps to promote sustained behavior change. So I just want to acknowledge all of the community coordinators that put in so much time and effort into making this program what it is. We also want to acknowledge the community members, the local health department, as well as the larger Southern Seven Coalition for Women's Health. And then I just wanted to thank my collaborators and colleagues at the Center for Research on Women and Gender. So that's it. Any questions? Yes. So we encourage them to, from that $9,000 budget over 3 years, we encourage them to take a $1,000 stipend per year. We had one coordinator, she was affiliated, we're in a university setting, and she worked for the university, so legally she was not able to take the money. But most of the other coordinators did take up that $1,000 offer, which was severely underpaid, but you know, it's just something to help them recognize for their time. But we also wanted to think about sustainability issues, and you know, you can't necessarily make these salaried positions. So yes. Definitely. So we're collecting clinical outcomes, health behavior outcomes. We're looking at social support. And then we're also looking at the larger community impact. We're doing a lot of qualitative research, focus groups, and stakeholder interviews. So yes, again, this is just kind of one small component of a larger evaluation overall. So, but we're still collecting those data. So hopefully we'll present on that next year. Even though formal agreement is done. Sure. So just to clarify, we still have about a year left of programming. My colleague, Chris, right here, she has worked in the region for almost 10 years. And I think just commitments to the groups and organizations, we've helped them write other grants. We are always looking to form new partnerships, and from the academic side, we are also looking at ways to get more funding, to do more programs down there. So I don't know if I answered your question, but so some of our time now will be, you know, in-kind donation, but just giving back to what they gave to us from the research end. So.
And for the churches that did finish, but aren't doing the funding anymore, we do still provide them with technical support and other types of support as much as they just not funding support.
Okay, thank you.